Welcome back to the Charlie Tuna Show, presented by Ameren Missouri on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
And welcome back into the Charlie Tuna Show on the second hour on this Tuesday night. Here coming from the studios of 590 The Fan and streaming live on InsideSTL.com, Moses, Tom Wiley, and Joe Davis just kicking it around on a Tuesday night. You know, this is a time of year, training camps haven't really opened up full steam yet. Baseball really is the only sport that most of the masses are even paying any attention to. A lot of people don't even look at baseball until the playoffs start, I know, because I know these people, probably some of them. But we talked about it a little bit last night, Tom. Mm-hmm. It's that time of year when we start to get that depression. This is second year now.
We're not talking about the Rams right now. We're not talking about
that. We don't have a team in this league.
We got one of the greatest St. Louis football heroes going into the Hall of Fame this weekend, and we don't have a team here anymore. Mm-hmm. It's sad.
It is.
It really is sad.
It is.
You know, the great Kurt Warner goes in this weekend, and he joins his brothers Orlando Pace and Marshall Faulk, and hopefully someday Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt and some others will be there. But Kurt Warner goes in this weekend, and I hope, and I know he will. I think he will. I think he'll give St. Louis
a shout out,
their props, and their due respect.
Orlando did too.
Yeah, because you know it wasn't. And people can say what they want, and the rest of the country thinks what they want to think, but it's not the fans that have lost two football franchises in this town.
No, the fans had nothing to do with it.
It's the city and the county that have lost it, and it's two owners.
The politicians.
Two owners that didn't want
to
be
there. And some corporate guys.
Right.
Let's not leave out that guy who used to be the CEO of a company I used to work at who blew the 93 expansion when he did not even try to negotiate with Jerry Clinton to get the lease to the Dome.
Yeah.
That's what kept us from getting the expansion team in 93.
All the time.
They did not even talk to this man at all, and I'll never forget that was one of the few times that I heard Jack Buck with just anger in his voice. Mm. He said, "I cannot believe that they didn't even try to talk to Jerry Clinton at all."
See that.
And then when the late Tom Eagleton broke the peace, he asked Jerry Clinton, "What will it take for us to get the lease?" He said, "My $2 million back in a luxury box for 20 years." And Tom Eagleton said,
much.
"That's all.
That's much at all.
That's all." He said, "But no one ever came talk to me."
Yeah, because it was the ownership group at that time. It was who we talked about earlier, Walter Payton. Was one of the folks that was
Bush Orthwine.
James Bush Orthwine, who had just gotten the
Patriots.
Yeah, the hostile takeover from the Patriots by Bob Kraft, who were going to move here. And then
nice.
Jerry Clinton. Yeah. You believe that? Can you? Could you?
That would have been really nice.
in the Patriots. Early 90s, because they played a couple of exhibition games here.
City would be completely different.
Moses?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
They played some exhibition games here, and I remember going to one. They played against the Chiefs here. And
The games were sold out.
Yeah.
They were sold out, man, to capacity. Both those exhibition games that were played when St. Louis didn't have an NFL team. Yeah. Unlike when NBA exhibition comes here and it's like half full.
It's empty.
Yeah, we haven't had one of those in a while, have we?
We won't get
they don't even try.
Either. Why? If we can't sell out the exhibition game, why should we deserve to even be on the
NBA? And we never even get a basketball game. We can't even sell.
But we always get a one of the early rounds of
NCAA.
The NCAA.
We do.
We've got the MVC that comes here. We're going to have the SEC basketball tournament in a couple years is going to be here in St. Louis at Scott Trade Center. Did you know that?
Didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
It's going to be here, I believe, in 2019, 2020. But that's coming here for moving from Nashville. Everybody wants to trumpet how wonderful Nashville is. What a great town.
Nice.
But it's coming here to St. Louis. It's going to be here. So there's things that point toward being a basketball town.
But you know the thing that really hurts me more than anything, Tom? As a sports fan in St. Louis.
What's that?
When I think about my formative years here in St. Louis, growing up watching sports on television, cities like Phoenix and Miami only had one pro team.
Right.
And now they have all
more
four major
us.
Sports.
Yeah.
And we're down to two.
Yeah.
So how is it that St. Louis has allowed these other cities to surpass them? I want to know what is the main issue why they've allowed these other metropolises, the other metropolitan areas, should I say, to surpass them as far as stature, how they're thought about nationally around the country. It's very frustrating for me being a St. Louisan.
You know,
to watch this deterioration of the reputation of this town.
You make a good point, but go either east or west on Interstate 70. And there's two big cities right there that only have two sports franchises. Indianapolis has got two. A football and a basketball.
But their
team.
Downtown is better.
But they have the right.
They're down to.
And Kansas City's only right got to. Two.
They have the right to.
The right to what?
Football and basketball. And basketball, yeah. The right to.
And
the ones that are really popular in culture right now.
Basketball is probably
even though baseball is supposedly America's pastime.
Mm-hmm. Oh no!
Football has become America's passion. Mm-hmm. Clearly,
football is by far.
And then you look at how we talk about NBA this offseason. LeBron, the Kyrie thing, the free agency thing.
We haven't even talked about the NFL as much as we used to because the NBA's been all over the news.
And this city being categorized as a baseball town, you know what? That's a lot of hogwash too. It's a baseball town when they win. It's a football town when they win.
Skip said yesterday he was close to giving up on the Cardinals.
When they went, well, see?
See, already.
This guy
time to give up.
This guy and I have been around a long time, and I remember back in the mid to late 70s, you can go down there, and you can get everybody got a foul ball at Busch Stadium.
Is that empty?
Because there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And then from about 90 to 95, the same thing happened. During the Joe Torre years,
when the brewery didn't want to spend any money, and they end up selling the team to the DeWitt organization,
and then they got the team in '95, hired Tony La Russa, Walt Jocketty, turned it around in '96. They go to the playoffs.
Because as far as baseball is concerned, the '70s was like the lost decade in St. Louis.
Terrible.
We had Lou Brock to break the stolen base record.
That was about it.
We had probably the best hitting catcher of his era.
Yeah.
Just for pure hitting, not talking about power stats and all that with the Johnny Bench, but as far as just pure hitting, there was no better catcher in the 70s than Ted Simmons.
And you had some great individual players like Rookie of the Year, Bake McBride. You had Gary Templeton.
The Fulton Flash.
You had a
Keith Hernandez was Keith MVP Hernandez in 79. Yeah.
So you had some good players, and Bob Forrest was a good pitcher.
Two no-hitters.
Yeah. So there was things that were going on. But there weren't anybody. There was nobody down there at that stadium.
Not like
so the best fans in baseball, they can blow that
and it
out.
Changed, the it wazoo. Changed. It changed when Gussie hired Whitey Herzog. That's when it changed.
It did. And it changed again in 96
when La Russa
when the
came.
DeWitts hired Tony La Russa and Walt Jocketty to right the ship because they had not been in the playoffs.
So I guess we could say that we've had a good 20-year run with competitive winning playoff World Series teams in St. Louis. From 96 until now, you can say the last 20 years have been. I think a lot of baseball, Cleveland certainly would like to have what we got. The last
years they would love it.
In baseball.
Anytime.
You know, I mean, they've been to the World Series, what, 04, 06, 11, 12, or 13?
12 they went, yeah.
Yeah, so they've been to the World Series four times in the last 10 years.
Aside from the Yankees, the Red Sox, and San Francisco.
It's been the Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals are right there. They're one of the top four teams.
They're second to the Yankees in World Series victories.
All
Yankees have 27 and the Cardinals have 11.
I'm talking about the last 20
but
years.
But the Giants are what, 9? Giants have 9.
They're close. They're catching up.
Dodgers and the Giants are close. So. But I'm talking the last 20 years. Yankees, Red Sox, Giants
and Cardinals.
It has those are the four best teams. So you can't scoff at what they've done. But when they talk about If they start losing, you're going to see more and more empty seats down there.
Well, you already can see them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You already start
and
to you, see them.
And I get emails all the time.
And the thing about
dynamic
this
dynamic pricing.
The thing about
the game for $7.
About this Cardinal team, they're not very bad, but they're not very good either.
They're boring.
It's boring.
It's
exactly.
Boring.
Well, that's just baseball.
There's
in general.
No big star
that draws
and
you.
And then. You get the thing over the last 24 to 48 hours from Mike Stanton, who says he doesn't want to come here and play in the Midwest. I'm sorry, Giancarlo Stanton.
It's because he's in Miami.
But he doesn't want to come to St. Louis now and be a part of the St. Louis Cardinals and be a part of their history.
Would you? You're in Miami.
Well, South Beach.
Yeah, South Beach.
But you're not winning.
Who cares?
You're
South
winning
Beach.
Nothing down there.
It's South
if that's
Beach.
The case, if that's the case, you know what?
He doesn't want.
He has money.
He doesn't
want to
ring
Beach.
That badge yet.
Then everybody wants to play either New York, L.A., or Miami.
It's all about the money with him right now.
No other cities they got.
And being in Miami. But once he hungers for that championship, he'll wave the
cross. He's going to be too damn old then.
Yeah.
Because he's already 28. 27, 28.
He has a couple years to think about.
He's going to reach that magical 30-31, and all of a sudden, pfft, right down the Bemis.
But you know what, though? That's not everyone. Because Hank Aaron hit 47 home runs at the age of 37 in 1971.
Well, how many world championships did he win after that?
Well, he won his championships before that.
Well,
when he was in Milwaukee with the Braves.
Probably, you know what? One of the guys that overlooked as probably one of the, he is one of the greatest players, but could be considered the greatest player for what he did and only had, I believe, only one season, or he never hit over 50 home runs in a season. And still had 755 home runs.
Hank had those wrists.
It was unbelievable. Yeah, quick wrist.
He had those wrists, man. He could turn it over. He could turn that top hand over.
A week from yesterday, trade deadline. You think they're going to do anything?
Who's the Cardinals?
Do you think they're going to make a move, whether it's Lance Lynn getting rid of him to somebody else and picking up somebody, you know, something for the future, or trying to get something here now so they can get toward winning the division? Because they're not going to get a wild card.
I think no, definitely not.
I think they're
going
to stand pat. I don't think they're going to do anything.
You don't think so, huh?
I don't think they're going to do anything.
What do they have to give up?
They have a besides lot of
their prospects. Besides their prospects, exactly.
But you don't want to sacrifice too much of the future for now, especially when you do it and don't win it. You know, they trade three of our top prospects for Stanton, and they don't win it this year. Mm-hmm. What happens next year?
You got Stanton.
You don't want them to be like the Cubs. You still start pressing and giving up a lot.
Well, you've got. Look, you've got so much in the outfield.
Unproven.
But it's such
mediocre
outfield. And even though it's only halfway through the first season of his contract, the Dexter Fowler signing doesn't look to be
no,
so good.
No, it does not.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's not leave out the Stephen Piscotty signing either.
Another one right there.
That's $100 million in contracts right there with two players.
And not defending him, but he's got a lot of other things off the field issues going on with him. And but yeah, both the big contracts that they've signed, these two guys early on this season, and you're locked up with Yachty.
I have a lot of
good point.
I have a lot of out of studio issues going on in my life too.
You don't let
you're here.
In here, do you?
But I'm still here. You know, that's life. You know, everybody has something to go through in life. I don't care who it is.
I hope they do something. I hope they do something to kind of ignite and get people excited. And yet, you know, people are always going to go down to these ball games now because that's just what they do in St. Louis, and you know, come from whether
you can
it's
have a good
time.
You can have a good time at the game, even if the Cardinals aren't playing well.
What Charlie always calls it?
The tavern, the big tavern,
St. Louis' biggest tavern.
Joe, let me get to my plate first tonight. First of all, I want to say, Jermaine Edmondson. If I was waking up crying at night, I wouldn't tell everybody. Who was Jermaine Edmondson?
I heard this ridiculous.
This guy who was supposedly. Beat up a little bit by Draymond Green last year, suing Draymond Green.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Says he still wakes up crying at night. And I'm saying to myself, man, what kind of man is this?
He's trying to build his case. He's trying his hardest to build his case.
What's he crying about, though?
Because
it was such a
It was an altercation last year at a bar. Draymond punched him in the face. So he's saying post-traumatic distress. He's waking up crying about the event.
He has a flashback.
He said he could still feel. His fist and his face.
Oh, goodness.
he's just milking it. He's trying to get as much money as he can out this lawsuit.
And
this guy.
He's not going to get anything.
Venus Williams is now starting to fight back in this wrongful death suit that's been she's being sued. She said this is nothing more than a money grab because they weren't wearing their seatbelts. And the police have already said that they entered the intersection wrongly.
Yeah, but now they're trying to get Venus Williams her phone records. So, because if they can prove that she was texting at the time, then it's going to be a little bit more difficult for her to get away with it.
Yeah,
because that text she's going to lose immediately if there's a proof that she was sending a text.
She's got enough money.
Oh, yeah, she has plenty of money.
Just pay the money and make it go away. And then
make it stay quiet.
Also, I read a very interesting story today, Tom, on the internet. There is a new loophole in recruiting in high schools, and it's called homelessness.
Homelessness.
Kids are declaring themselves homeless. So they can get around the academic requirements, eligibility requirements, to get into any school that they want to play for in the Seattle area. They say they went from 47 to 129 kids who play sports in Seattle.
So they can go to whatever school district they want.
Go to whatever school district they want to.
High
yep,
school.
Yep. But now they're saying kids are being used up and thrown away like women of the night.
Well, and that's amazing that they're doing that. For high school students.
Are they doing this? I'm assuming strictly for athletics.
Yeah, of course.
They're making enough money off of high school students to find loopholes to get them to come to their school to play.
Are these private schools?
No.
It's probably a mixture of...
Not all of them private schools. No. And also on my plate.
Yes, yes.
The Cowboys.
Here we go.
They cut Lucky but not Zeke for off the field stuff. Oh, I know. Lucky is a role player. Zeke is a star.
And Lucky Whitehead, it wasn't even him.
And it wasn't even
him. It wasn't even him. It was missing identity.
He's been proven that. Police have said, oh, we made a mistake. It wasn't him. But the Cowboys say, and you know what?
It doesn't matter.
Just the idea that you were implicated with it. We don't want you. Is that fair? What, man?
Now, I think it's pretty hypocritical.
He's talking about suing the police department.
Yeah, I think it's pretty hypocritical. Cowboys,
Lucky, look. Shut your mouth. Mm-hmm. Stay in shape.
Try to get another job.
And somebody else will give you a chance.
Because
he was a pretty good kick returner. When you say he's a pretty good kick returner. Yeah.
But the Cowboys are the same team that traded for Greg Hardy. And say that Greg Hardy was one of the leaders on their team.
That's right.
When he was with the Cowboys.
He's a bad guy.
But then they're going to go around and cut Lucky Whitehead, who wasn't even shoplifting.
He may be somewhere in a straitjacket in a padded room right now, Greg Hardy, huh?
He's trying to do MMA.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. I'm going to tell you what Greg Hardy's best claim to fame to me is, though. When he was a senior at Ole Miss, he and his Ole Miss Rebels went down to the swamp and handed it to Tim Tebow and the Gators. And after that loss, Tim Tebow vowed they weren't going to lose again, and they went on to win the national championship. That was the second one he won.
Was Hugh Freeze still the coach? Houston Nutt was the coach. Okay, Houston Nutt was still the coach.
Yeah, Houston Nutt was still the coach. But I'm like, man, this guy, Greg Hardy, he was all over Tim Tebow's butt all day. It's like, man, who is this boy, Greg Hardy? Because, I mean, he was a beast. And I said, you know what? This guy's going to play on Sunday. But I didn't know he was such a off the field, man. You know, this guy.
Lunatic. Basically. That, yeah.
He's way out there. Trey Mason wants another chance in the NFL. Does he deserve one? He says, he's put all that mental stuff behind him now. He's taking the proper medication. You know, I'm good. I just want a chance. I don't know what he's worried about his CTE.
That could be possible CTE or something. Because he did have a last year. Was that last year?
Yeah. He had
last summer, he was getting arrested six times.
He made some threatening phone calls to the White House.
To the White
House? Yes, he did.
Oh, my Lord.
That was before Trump.
Yeah.
Before Trump.
He went out in the middle of the street.
You think he'll get a second chance? If he can still play running back.
I don't know.
Dancing around craziness.
And I'm sure
last time we saw him, it was 1,000 yards. I'm going to tell you
what I think really blew him up mentally. He had such a good rookie campaign. Mm-hmm. And then they draft Todd Gurley.
It's hard to pass up on Todd Gurley.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. Now, it was hard to pass. But then he was relegated to an afterthought, literally.
It was Trey Mason's daddy. What was he, a singer or something?
Me, myself, and I. De La Soul.
De La Soul, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, that's his pops. Uh-huh. Me, myself, and
I. You know us brothers, we know about that stuff. Yeah.
Me, myself, and I. Yep. But that's all that I have on my plate tonight. So let's take this break here. But you listen to the Charlie Tuna Show here on this Tuesday. Tom Wiley.
You mentioned Tim Tebow.
Joe Davis.
Charlie's not here.
Moses.
Don't say too much about Tim Tebow.
Well, I'm just talking.
He's still hanging
around.
When
he was playing football.
Hey,
yeah,
he's still hanging.
And he's still relevant because people are talking about him.
310.
Now, this kid hadn't played baseball since high school.
310.
Yeah.
310.
But it is minor leagues, though.
Exactly. It's still minor leagues.
Yeah, he's not tearing it up on the senior circuit or the junior circuit, that's for sure. You think he'll get a chance to get called up?
No. He better not. No way.
What a good guy, though.
Oh, I mean, I love his character. Yeah. I love what he stands for, what he tries to represent.
Yep.
I mean, Tim Tebow, when he was in college, he was like the epitome of what a collegiate athlete should be. The epitome of student athlete, should I say. But, you know, he just didn't have. Just couldn't throw, man. And there's no fault of his own. He couldn't help. He was a lefty, you know.
But he beat the Steelers.
Oh, that was such a fluke game. Don't get me started.
Well, that'll be his claim to fame.
It is.
That'll be his claim to fame. No doubt
people should have got
that.
Fired for that. That's what I'm saying.
Yep. But anyway, you listen to the Charlie Tuna Show. We'll be back after the break.
Ooh, la, 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 la
Welcome back to the Charlie Tuna Show, presented by Ameren Missouri on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
We're back live from the Weber Chevrolet Studios here in beautiful St. Chuck, Missouri. We're going to be here, I think, another, month, maybe, Joe?
Well, I was just talking to Charlie about that yesterday, and they're moving it back again, so maybe a little bit longer. Maybe move September.
Christmas in July, we'll be there. We'll be at the new place in Christmas.
We were supposed to be out here in, I think, in the middle of August, but now I think maybe September now.
Oh, my God.
Maybe moving in. They're not sure yet.
That's Joe Davis. I'm Tom Wiley. This is the Charlie Tuna Show on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and InsideSTL.com, and 105.7 HD2, and a myriad of other places you can hear us. And we always have our podcast.
InsideSTL.com, yes.
Yeah, we got all those. Phone number 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. If you want to give us a call and talk about it, we had a great interview earlier.
Oh, yeah, it was entertaining.
A gentleman by the name of Ernest Hart, who was a
kickboxing world champion.
Yeah, world
champion. Four-time. That was nice.
Also did some work in Hollywood. Worked on movies, Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat's the one I know.
To Live and Die in L.A. And, of course, he said he worked on the George Clooney Batman, which was panned by a lot of people, but still.
I like that one, actually.
That movie.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You know what? Hang your hat on that one. That's pretty cool to be associated with something like that. But we had him on. He was very entertaining. He's going to be joining us many, many more times before this big McGregor.
Oh, yeah, he was definitely entertaining.
Mayweather debacle. That's coming up in August. It's August 26th. There's so many things going on August 26th. We've got that. Is that evening, the McGregor, Mayweather. They've got the auto race over at Gateway, the Bomarito 500, which I know 590's sponsoring. And also, I believe that's the same day that people are going to get bent out of shape, but that's the same day that Pepper Martin, Tim McCarver, and a guy by the name of Mark McGuire are going into the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame.
Really? Mark McGuire is actually
Yep. Those are the three that are going in. So all that on August 26th, next month. So beware. Mark that date down. You got a lot to do on that Saturday. Well, Joe, what do you got on your plate over there?
Since you mentioned Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, did you hear the new way you can see the fight instead of paying $100 for the pay-per-view fight?
Oh, wait a minute. How?
You can go to the movie theaters. It's going to be about $40, and you can watch it at the movie theater.
Wait a minute. They're going to charge people $40 a piece?
To go to see and watch it at the movie theater. Which sounds like a great idea at first.
But still.
But then you got think about it.
$40.
$40.
You can get
about $40 to get in. It's about $15 to go see a movie.
You can get 10 of your buddies and chip in $10 a piece and watch it at somebody's house.
Yeah, but it's not like the movie theater. I guess the screen.
Well, some people got movie theaters like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Big screens like that at their home. But $40, I was going to say, do you get like chips and dip and soda?
I don't know. They just came out with it today and said there's going to be more details more. But
you know,
there's going to be in certain movie theaters you can go in. But my thing is, that could be bad. Like,
you got
Conor McGregor fans. You got Floyd Mayweather fans.
Now you're
talking noise after the fight. Mm. There's going to be somebody who wants to fight at the fight.
It
sounds like a good idea to make money, but then you better have some security there.
That's a smart way of looking at it, Joe. That's a very astute way of looking at it. You get these guys that want McGregor to win. You get these guys that want Mayweather to win. And then all of a sudden, their guy doesn't win. And, watch out.
Someone's talking noise as you're walking out the movie theater.
In the parking lot at Warrenburg, you got a throwdown. But $40. You know, back in the day, that's how they used to do. They used to do it on closed circuit TV, and they would show it at Kiel Auditorium or someplace like that, or a different movie house, and they would have the big fights, whether it was, you know, the Ali Frazier or Ali Foreman or those fights in the 70s, it would be shown at one of those places like that because, you know, they didn't have pay-per-view and they certainly didn't have cable was in its infancy back then. So they would show it down at the Kiel Auditorium. I remember seeing the very first WrestleMania.
Really? Wow.
On closed circuit TV down at the Kiel Auditorium. Before it was turned into Kiel, it was Kiel Opera House.
It's been a couple.
But the first WrestleMania was on a closed circuit like that, and I think we only paid like $10. $40, that's $40, a lot of jack to go to sit in the movie theater.
They'll probably also be able to stream it on Facebook and Twitter to be able to pay for it their way. It's gonna be you're gonna be able to watch it any way you want to.
I think we've got a big group getting together and we're gonna watch it over somebody's house and have a little barbecue or something and swim in the pool. And he's got one of those things you could, but the projection thing, you put it outside.
The event will be better than the fight. It'll be people being together and hanging out and talking. That's gonna be the best part of the fight.
Are you one of these people that's of the belief that he, speaking of he, Conor McGregor, is gonna do something stupid? Somewhere during the fight, he's going to be losing, and he's going to go off
that idea
and do something dumb, and not say dumb like bite an ear.
But
like
he may
Mike
get
did.
Aggravated because he can't hit Floyd, and
yeah,
and throw a little kick in there. He knows he's going to lose.
He might do something crazy.
He seems like the type of guy who's a little off the edge sometimes.
They're both very shrewd as far as making this fight a must see now because it's.
I think
to
it
the
got to the
now.
Point though when they were on their European tour and everything. There was a point where like, all right. I've seen this enough. It's been 3-4 days in a row.
Calling each other the B word
and the F word. It's like, I don't even want to see the fight now, but kind of people will still see the fight.
gets a little bit repetitive and it gets to be too much. You're like, okay, I already saw this story. Let's get on with something else. Have they mentioned anybody on the undercard yet? Any fights?
I'm trying to see. Not that I've heard of, no.
If there's going to be anything.
That's going to be the most important part.
Yeah, because, you know, leading up to that, two or three fights before that, you want to see something that's pretty decent to hold your
And there's some good names out there that could fight still.
Yeah, they could. We'll see. What else you got?
On Sunday was the start of Shark Week. And I know we talked about last week, Michael Phelps racing a shark. Mm. And he actually raced the shark and he lost. But people weren't too happy because when they were watching it, they realized he wasn't racing against a real shark.
Well, what was he racing?
It was an animated shark.
Oh, come on.
They had an animated shark in the ocean. He was in the ocean and they gave him a mono fin for his feet so he can race against the shark, but everybody was upset because he didn't actually race against a shark. Should we have known better that he actually wasn't going to race against a live shark?
Who was going to train a shark?
Exactly.
Put him in some sort of a container. Stay in your lane, shark. Stay in your lane, Jaws. Before I don't want you getting over there and bumping Mike. How would you get a shark to go?
I don't even know how you get him to do that. Just go attack some meat
like
or something?
Training a horse, like Secretariat.
Michael Phelps said, though, when they brought it to him, he did want to actually race against a shark without a cage.
Yeah.
And he said that he did dive a couple times beforehand with sharks, and he was in a cage. But before he actually did the race, he went to shark school.
Uh-huh.
And he said there was one point where he was swimming around 15 sharks at once, like right in front of his face. So I was going to ask, would you ever dive with sharks? Something like that? So I think it's pretty crazy,
you know,
especially without a cage.
When we went on vacation a couple weeks ago, we were talking, and my daughter actually looked it up. And to do something like that, it was close to like $800 or $900 to go down in one of those cages that's supposed to supposed to protect
you from a shark. Yeah. Okay.
And you know what? They'd have to put me in a plexiglass and steel and barbed wire all around me because I wouldn't want anything. Nowhere, because you've seen some of those sharks. They've got
they're crazy
inside. I don't want anything to do with no great white shark or hammerhead.
Rip the bars
shark
off. I can do everything.
No, but yeah, it's quite a bit of money, I think, to do something like that. But who did people actually watch this? I wonder if anybody actually watched this stupid thing with him.
Oh yeah, they watched it, and people were upset because it wasn't a real shark. That's like how we all should have known. It's obvious that he wasn't going to race a real shark in the open ocean.
Now, isn't Sharknado coming out too?
Is there another Sharknado coming out? Sharknado 4?
I saw that ugly what's-her-name talking about she was on something.
The last one was at the White House, I believe.
Yeah.
Took a place at the White House.
It's just, it's got
people love the sharks.
They love, and they had that shark week. Heck, I was seeing on the way back from Alabama, there were actual billboards that were
really for Shark Week.
Shark Week's coming up. Shark Week's coming up. You know, and they've got it on whatever Discovery Channel.
Yep, Discovery Channel.
National Geographic and all that stuff. So, people are the shark is one of those mysterious animals. Whether it's the great white shark, everybody because that's the one. Man,
that's the one that Michael Phelps raced against, the great white. Yes.
Oh boy.
Now, he lost by 2 seconds.
Now is that the fastest fish? And when I say fish, I mean shark.
Shark, all of them?
Or is it faster than a dolphin, or is it faster than a
That's a great question.
A flounder? Or what is a fast fish? Because we all know that a cheetah is the fastest land animal. But what is a fast fish? What's the fastest fish?
That's an excellent question.
You've become a What did you talk about on the show? Well, we talked about fast fish and who Michael Phelps was going to race as far as going up against the fastest fish.
A sailfish can go up to 68 miles per hour, ooh, and a marlin can go up to 50.
Well, you know, and Phelps ain't going that fast.
No. So. No, you can't go that fast. No. No way.
A marlin can go up to 50 miles an hour?
50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And that's a quick Google search.
Yeah.
China.org.
Okay. There you go.
That's interesting. China.org. There you go.
But he lost to the shark by 2 seconds.
Yeah, 2 seconds, which is actually pretty good, which I was surprised.
I would not have wasted my time. You know what? I watch a lot of BS on TV.
The graphics were pretty crazy. It just looked like a Jaws swimming next to him.
But I could.
They had the artificial lane made in the ocean and everything.
I don't think I could justify it. Honey, hold on. Michael Phelps racing the shark. We got to watch this. I think there's a lot of other stuff on TV I'd rather watch than that.
And I got this one for you too. You would love this. LeVar Ball over the weekend. He has an AAU team, the Big Ballers.
For his youngest
his son? For his son, yeah, okay. LaMelo Ball.
Right.
Well, they were up in the fourth quarter, about 5 minutes left, and there was a call against his team that LeVar Ball did not like, and he said the ref was trying to cheat his team.
Mm-hmm.
So he took his team off the court and forfeited. And they were in the fourth quarter, and they were up winning. But it was a bad call. It really was a bad call if you watch the video. And he felt like the ref was trying to cheat his team.
He
pulled them all off. And if you watch the video, you can see his own kids call? Are looking around like, wait, why? What? You're forfeiting? We're about to win the game. But yeah, it was a bad. It wasn't something to storm off the court about.
Yeah.
It was just a little tic-tac foul that they probably shouldn't have called.
I can remember back way, way, way back. My brother was playing in a baseball tournament down in Paducah, Kentucky. And they were getting beat pretty bad. And the umpires were absolutely horrible. And my dad was one of the coaches. And my dad's a very, very soft-spoken, not anything like me, very passive, doesn't say much. And my dad got to the point where he just had enough and got thrown out of the game and got the whole team.
Really?
The game. And he said, I just did it for the kids because they didn't want to, you know, they were getting embarrassed. They were getting their butts kicked. And he said, I just did it for the kids. He goes, I didn't want them to get out there and have to endure any more of the beating they were taking. Plus, those umpires really sucked anyway. So, yeah. Hey, you know what?
And he wasn't like yelling and screaming like crazy. He was just like, all right, we're done. Let's go. That was a terrible call. We're out of here. Well, and just walked off.
Of the Ball brothers, boys, whatever you want to call them, that little one is the trash talking.
He's fun. LaMelo, he's fun. He's fun to watch.
Is something else. He's going to be a handful when he gets.
He's going to be the one who's going to be able to sell shoes.
I think you're right. I think he's going to be because he's got a little bit more personality.
Because I equate Lonzo Ball with shoes with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's one of the third best player in the NBA, second or third best player in the NBA, but he doesn't have a personality.
No.
So he can't sell shoes. Yep. Lonzo Ball doesn't have a personality either. His dad's the one doing all the talking. You never hear Lonzo Ball say anything.
You're absolutely right.
He barely talks at all.
But the youngest one, I saw
him.
Oh,
he's fun to watch.
They were playing horse or something, and he was yipping and yapping out there against his brothers, and they're like, oh, shut up. And he's out there holding his fingers up like he's number one, and he was giving it to him. He's got a little bit more personality. Like you said, he might be the one that's going to be the marketeer and sell the shoes more so than his two older brothers.
And now the Ball family is going to have that documentary on Facebook.
Oh boy.
And they've already showed a little previews and
they
show LeVar Ball, which I kind of liked. He was going off on LiAngelo for not trying that hard and LaMelo also because they weren't trying that hard at practice when they were running the hills because he's a personal trainer and he was messing around playing on his phone. So he called out his son in front of everybody, which is I thought that was good to see. Yeah. Make sure they had the right word that
you thing. Know, aside from his antics on the different talk shows that he goes on, the father I'm speaking about now, aside from those, when he is in his home with his sons, it's a totally different kind of atmosphere. It's not his grandstanding, him trying to sell the Big Baller brand shoes and this and that. And he does not make these kids do anything they don't want to do. He doesn't grab them by the collar or pull them out of bed. He says, hey, you want to get up? It's time for breakfast. Or you want to go out and shoot? Go out and shoot. He doesn't make him go out and do any of that.
So I think that's what people's problem were. They perceived that that's what he was doing. He was making them do this.
Right. Like he was a taskmaster making them, oh, woe is me. This poor kid is being forced into doing this. And he's not doing that. The only thing I just don't like about him is that he's just so over the top with these shoes. and I know Charlie likes it and you like it, but he's just so over the top. And
he probably is rubbing some people the wrong way.
He's going to get what he wants, whether it's from Under Armour or Nike or Adidas or Puma or whomever. He's eventually going to get his big baller brand with one of these big companies, and he's going to sell a ton of shoes and make a lot of money for his family and for his sons. And his son is torn up after he got off to kind of a slow start in the summer league. He's really looked pretty good. And he's done quite well. So it's not like he's not going to be a good basketball player in the NBA. He's going to be a terrific talent. So, and we'll see. And we'll see what happens to the other two, too, because don't they already have signed commitments to UCLA?
Both of them, yes. LiAngelo and LaMelo.
It's crazy.
Both of them.
Crazy. And the one's in eighth grade, isn't he?
Eighth grade, yes. And he's already prepared for UCLA.
That's wild. That is wild. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, like I said, the guy's trying to sell shoes. He's trying to market his family, and good for him for that. He's just over the top with some of the things he says about he's being able to beat Michael Jordan or
one-on-one. He could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one right now.
Don't be talking out your wazoo when you say something like that, man. And that's why people get... And not me. I mean, I don't get upset with him. I just find him to be kind of goofy and a little off his rocker when he says something like that. It's like, what are you talking about, man? You can't beat no Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan.
No way. No.
Michael Jordan can tie one arm to the side.
Michael Jordan wouldn't even let him give him a chance to.
No, I know. Mike could spot him 20 points and Mike still beat him and play at 21. So, anything else? You got anything else over there?
That's it for the night. Yep.
Cardinals now. Boy, they're doing it again. They were up 2-1. Or
blown it again.
Then they're up 2-1. And here comes the bullpen again.
I think Charlie had a stat yesterday. They lost 21 games when they were up two or more runs after the seventh, I believe. 21 games right there. They could have had one.
And half of those, Joe, how much are they up in the – they're 4.5 out, I think. It was now. So they'd be 6 up or so or in the National League Central if they just won a half. But
– bullpen, like Skip always says.
Bullpen. Overmanaging.
It's definitely some managing issues.
Boy, oh boy, I don't know what they're going to do. And we've got a week till that trade deadline. We'll see what happens. But these Cardinals got
not much talk. Lance Lynn might be gone.
Long way to go before they do anything. Because they're not making anybody excited. I'm telling you that right now. Joe, have a good evening. Mm-hmm. Thank you for
not
being
a problem.
Here this last
every
few
night.
Minutes. Moses, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. And
Charlie thank you.
Oh,
thank
I'm
you.
Sorry. This is Tom Wiley for Joe Davis and for Moses and for Charles Tuna Edwards. This is the Charlie Tuna Show, the one and only Charlie Tuna Show, right here on 590 The Fan, KFN. Tomorrow night, Joe, tell me who's going to be in here.
Maurice Scott in studio.
In studio.
Should be fun.
Don't forget a couple pieces of the Yellow Pages. Or
I'll bring some Yellow Pages so he can sit on
it. From Golden
That'd be great, yes.
For him.
I'm going to go to Fazoli's and get one.
We're the mayor of the East Side. Maurice Scott's going to be in studio with us. So that'll be a whole lot of fun. Folks, it's been great. We will see you tomorrow night.